Hey guys, welcome back to Marketing Food Online. This is Damian, and I hope you guys, as always, are having a great day. All right, so let's get into how do you finance your small food operation? Let's get into it. All right, okay, so here we go. I'm going to give you, we've got 2, 4, 6, 7. We're working on 7. I'm going to give you 7 methods, 7 different ways that you can get funding. Now, I'm going to give these to you as an informational, for informational purposes. I don't necessarily, am going to say that I have done all of these. When I first started my business, I had a learning experience. I guess you could say it was a learning experience because I funded my business myself, and I did use some credit cards, and a couple of other methods, I guess you want to say. So they worked out okay for me. They like I say, it's a learning experience because if I planned it out a little bit more, gave it a little more thorough thinking, I could have probably used a couple of different routes. But the utilization of credit cards is one way, and I personally experienced it. And it was a costly experience, let's just say. But I pushed through that, and I just continued to push on. And we are now where we are now, and our business is self-sufficient and self-running, and it's up and running, and it's doing fantastic. So everything, I'm going to say this, aside from whatever it is you decide to do as far as the type of food business you want, it's going to be a learning experience. Let me just say that. So every day, every week, every month, you're going to be learning a lot about yourself, what works and what doesn't work. Everyone's situation is different. So finding the right funding source is going to be something that's really very personal in the sense that, you know, everyone's finances are different. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and let me hop into this, and I'm going to give you the 7 different methods, the 7 different ways, and then figure out what is going to work for you, okay? All right, so let's get started. Now, the first one, and these are in no particular order, of course. They're not something that I recommend from best to least. It's just going to give you 7. So the first one, of course, is family and friends. There's a lot of entrepreneurs who start businesses, and they really want to get in the food business, or they just want to get into a business. And they end up asking, you know, Uncle Tom or Uncle Jim or their aunt or their mom and dad, or if it's a cousin, a sister or a brother. Just keep in mind a couple of things. You kind of tread on some really, I want to say thin water, but you just want to be really careful about delving into a financial situation where you're borrowing money from family or close friends, because if something goes sour, if it doesn't work out, well, that relationship can kind of take a toll. It can kind of take a turn for the worst, if you will. You don't want to jeopardize a family's relationship or a friend that you've had for years or whoever it is just because of a situation over money. What I would recommend you do is that if you're going to borrow from a close friend or family member, sit down and explain to them first off, what is your goal? What is it that you really truly want to do? How are you going to do it? I'll do a separate podcast on this, but having a business plan is probably worth its weight in gold. I would highly recommend, definitely recommend that you have some type of a plan laid out. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect by any means. But having a rough idea of where you are right now, what it is you want to do, and then how are you going to get to it? Those are great things to have on paper, because not only for yourself, you can visually, you can look at it and see it. It sinks in more. It has a bigger impact when it's on paper. But when you're borrowing money from someone else and it's a family or friend, it's going to help them understand the potential risks that they're taking. And, you know, and you got to let them know nothing's in concrete. You know, you're going to give this a shot. It's going to be a try. It's going to be a shot in the dark. But here's my plan. You know what I mean? So you can both be on the same page. So when you both get into it together, they understand the potential that it's not going to work out. So by everyone understanding what they're getting into, it's going to be better for both of you. Okay. It's not going to, if something goes wrong, it's not going to hinder that relationship. It's not going to be something that you don't know what the risks are. So the next one up is credit cards. Okay. And I chuckle only because this is, I experienced this myself. I use credit cards. I didn't honestly put a lot on my credit cards, but it was enough to, at the time when we first started, it was probably better to find another source of income. Now, the reason why I say this is that credit cards have, of course, interest rates. If your business is turning a profit, that's great. Okay, that's good. Most businesses, it takes time to really turn a profit and get the wheels going. So if those margins don't pan out to be something that's bringing in enough to cover the principal and the interest and the ability to pay your other expenses with the business and yourself, then that's where the challenge, I guess you want to say, is going to be, okay? You have to be making enough for principal, interest, and then to pay yourself in order for it to be a profitable business. If you're selling a product, let's say you know it costs you $2 to make and you're selling it for $10 or $12 and you're selling hundreds of them a day, that's pretty profitable. But it's not going to be profitable if you have a principal and interest on your credit cards that you're barely able to break even with, and then you've got other utilities and other bills and you got to pay yourself, support your family, then it's not a profitable business. It may sound good up front when those numbers look at them, but you got to understand that the interest rate can eat away at any potential profits your business are making. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of learned that the hard way. So I understand it much better now, but it was something I experienced. And I don't look at it as a negative thing. Everything that you go through has got to be looked at as a learning experience, because nobody, you know, anyone, I mean, Richard Branson from Virgin Airways, you can look at any successful business entrepreneur, they don't have all the answers the first day they start this idea of having a business. You kind of learn as you go. So next up, if you own your home and you've got equity, there's a lot of entrepreneurs who actually go, this is something I've heard a lot and read a lot about with franchises, is that a couple has equity in their home and they want to buy a franchise, which is an established business, of course, and you just buy one, you set it up, and you've got the everything established. You've got the back end is established through the franchising. It's already an up and running business that you've got a plan. Everything's done kind of for you in a sense. Home equity is good. It's a good idea, but again, consider the interest rates, consider the value of the home that you're in, that you're going to be drawing, you know, you're going to be drawing down on that value and utilizing that money. So again, this is where the business plan comes in and understanding the importance of having some type of a plan laid out for your food business. Okay. Equity is a good idea. I personally have never used that. I'm not saying you need to run out and do it. But equity, home equity lines are potentially a way that you can tap into existing money. The next up is venture capitalists. Now, these are private lenders, okay? They tend to invest in high-risk businesses that have the potential for huge returns if the business is successful. So the only thing is that when it comes to specialty food businesses, venture capitalists don't do a lot of investing. It's done mostly with tech companies, companies that have proven to be, you know, doing millions of dollars a year, but they could become multi-million dollar companies. Those are venture capitalist types of companies. Some do, I'll be honest with you, some specialty food companies do catch the eye of a venture capitalist, and you can get money from these groups. A lot of times they're going to take equity from you, equity in the company, and they're going to own 15%, 20%, whatever that is. But that's traditionally how venture capitalists will invest their money. So now the next up is one that I experienced, and I was kind of quite shocked that it was much more difficult than I thought. I had all my eggs in the basket. I had across my T's and dot my I's. My credit was perfect. Everything was good. But going to banks. After 2008, the challenge for any business to get a loan from a bank was this. How much money do you have to back up this loan, Damien? That's what they asked me. And I told them, well, we have some money, obviously, but the amount that I'm looking for to expand my business, I don't have the exact dollar for dollar to back it. Well, if you don't have collateral, take a hike. And I was kind of like, in the sense, I thought my experience was like, well, why am I sitting here? If I had this money in the bank, I wouldn't be sitting borrowing it from a bank. If I had it in my bank account, why would I ask you for $100,000 if I had $100,000? That's kind of how I looked at it. But after 2007, between 2007 and 2009, banks were not taking as much risk on. Okay, so banks, of course, they're kind of a traditional way to get a small business loan, but they are nowadays much more of a challenge. So the next one up is SBA, Small Business Administration. Okay, you can contact them at sba.gov. That's sba.gov. about financing your startup business. What they do traditionally is actually they often work through local banks and can help you secure lending through banks, through programs that they have. So the Small Business Administration has helped a lot of startups. It's always good if you've got, even if you're starting small at home and you've got some sales history, you've got something to bring to them, it's always a good thing because it helps you get the loan much, much faster. Keep in mind too, by the way, what I was talking about, the importance of a business plan, kind of map out, figure out really what, how much do you really need? And you want to be as close to that as possible, because some people say, you know what, they calculate, they sit down, they come up with a, you know, $75,800 is what they need to start. Then they start asking for $200,000 or so. And it's just not, you got to be able to relay that. You have to tell them, look, this is what I'm buying, use the money for this, this, and this. And you've got to pay my, I got to pay myself and then other expenses and employees. So get a really good ballpark. Get a good ballpark figure of what is it that you need. And then that is what you need to go after. Because it's, you know, if let's say you needed 70,000, right? And you're asking for 200,000, the chances of you getting a $200,000 loan without having the ability to explain where every bit of it's going, and you only need 70,000, it's not going to make any sense to the SBA or to the lender or to the bank, okay? Now, lastly, number seven, crowdfunding. This is a great source, but when it comes to food businesses that get crowdfunding financing, you need to make sure that you have a product available to physically ship to those who give you money. If you're getting funding and it's a crowdfunding source, you know, you kind of exchange that, you know, they donate $20 and you give them 10 packs of that specialty food product. Or if you donate $100, you know, you get 5 boxes of this or that. Make sure that you are able to physically ship this product to these investors, if you will, once they donate money to your fund, okay? Now, keep that in mind. It's not something they don't just give the money away free and you get a big thank you pat on the back. It's normally you're exchanging it for a good, okay? Normally not service, because you're in a food business, you're probably going to give them a food product, obviously. So crowdfunding is a great way. So with that being said, I'm gonna wrap up these seven. I'm actually going to put in the description down below some other information about where you can get crowdfunding, some SBA links, and some other information to help you out. But these are seven great sources. Keep them in mind and sit down and really brainstorm, you know, what is the best one for you in your situation. So with that being said, thank you guys again as always. And I appreciate you guys taking time to listen to the podcast. And if you don't know, check out our YouTube channel, Marketing Food Online YouTube channel. We've got 300 plus videos and climbing there. And I thank you to all the subscribers who have subscribed thus far. And you are, guys, a really big support and quite honestly an inspiration for me to continue bringing this information. I'm glad to know that there are others out there who have a passion for food business. And I will see you on my YouTube channel, or I will talk to you on my next podcast. Take care, guys.